Wonderful face. the things of earth will go strangely
in the light of His glory and
strength. And the things of earth
to our soul. Hallelujah. Send the light. Hallelujah. Judge the darkness. Judge the wickedness. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you for the encouragement. Thank you for the upliftment. Hallelujah. Oh yes. Lord, that you will help us. You help us. Hallelujah. Oh yes. So hear a little, dare a little. And you open the eyes of understanding. Oh yes. That as the word comes, the entrance of it will bring light. To bring deliverance. To bring energy. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You know, yesterday we were talking of dust. You know, the thing about the dust is piece of a very low dimension of life. You know, compared to the mountain. You know, it was something going through my mind. You know, about the dust. You know, but you know, looking at that scripture. It's clear that you know we are not meant for the, you know, we are not meant for the dust, because you have Mount Zion also, so you have the dust, which is like Judea, a very low place. Then you also have the mountain, you know, and every man has to determine where you want to be. He says one star differs from another star in glory. He says so is the resurrection, you know. So you know, and life is really a process of creation. You know, God is giving us the opportunity to create ourselves. That's a mystery. You know, God is giving us the opportunity, because sonship is by choice. You know, to be a son, you have to be it. You know, it's by choice. God gives everything to you. You determine. It's like you go to university. The lectures are there. You can decide to sleep and go and write the test. If we can come, if you don't want to come, you know. But there's a test set, you know. So also in the things of God, we have the choice, we have the time, we have everything, but there's a measurement. you know, and it says measure the temple, and then, you know, so I just want us to look at, I think what I want to do is just to do an overview of the tabernacle, because we can't go into, I just like to we'll do an overview, and then maybe tomorrow we can take a few details, and then maybe next time we will come, since this will be here, we can always come back and then continue, you know. So the I was just praying through the day. I was just praying for a direction. I seem to have gotten a direction that I'm going to follow. And it's the scripture is in Romans 8, you know, where it talks about let me try. You know, it's stay on that side. It's not very. Let me see if I can put this chair there. And then, you know, look. No, it's easier to write from this side.
From this side.
So let's try it. So, yes, you're welcome. You know, so we're just starting, and so I like to approach it by talking about adoption. I don't know if somebody can read for Romans 8. It's going to be more like a study, because I see God wants to give you a foundation. Give us a foundation. So if we just talk and go, then it's of no use. So we'll talk about it, and so that it's clear, you know. So in Romans 8, it says that He has given us the spirit of Romans 8, from I think verse 14, read from 14, where it says that He has not given us the spirit of
this thing says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear,
but
you received
the spirit of adoption.
By whom we cry,
Abba, Father. Okay, good. So, what we're looking at is an abridged form. Of very long, something very long, but I believe that you can take it. So I'm going to give you a lot of abridged things, so that when you go home, since you have notes, you can look at them and study. You know. So this is Romans 8. I think Romans 8:15. Okay. Romans 8:15. So this. So we have received the spirit of adoption, and that is the Holy Spirit. And I give you another scripture, because it's always good to understand it from the point of view of scripture. Because when you know the scripture, even if I come next to someone and say it is not true, you will say, God, see that, my friend. So it's not what I'm saying, but it's what God is saying to you. Now, so the other scripture, let's read it. It's 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 2, from verse 9, where we're talking about the Spirit, from verse 10,
10 says, but God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God.
No, read the one before.
Verse 9 says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him.
Go on.
But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the Spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual.
What translation is that?
This is a New King James.
Okay. No, we don't have time. We have a lot of scripture. That the gist of it, if you read to the end of this 2 Corinthians, it just says two things. Now, much more is that the spirit of man knows the man. That is, the man is the soul. Okay, so the spirit of man searches the soul of man, knows the things of man. Is it not so? And of course, then you have the body. So you have spirit, soul, and body. So, okay, so this is God, and this is man. So this is the soul, this is the Son, this is the Father, as the spirit, as the body, and the Holy Ghost. So these are the three. Okay. Now, the spirit of man is what makes a man a man. Okay. If I cancel this, then the man is like a dog. All right. So that is very, very important. I don't want to distort my picture too much. Now, it is the Spirit of God that can make you a son of God. You understand? That's why I said that He has given to us the spirit of adoption, wherewith we cry, Abba, Father. So it is the Spirit of God that will make you a son. Why it is the spirit of man, the spirit God has given to you, that makes you a man. Now, what that means is that there is a divine order. The spirit has control over the soul. But that's what 1 Corinthians is saying. The spirit searches the things of man. You understand? And ministers the things of, you know. The soul has control over the body. Now, this is the divine order of God. Also, the Father ministers through the Son, and the Son through the Spirit. So we read it yesterday. They say the Holy Ghost says He will show Christ. You understand? He will take of the things of Christ and He will reveal it to Christ. All right. Now this is very important, because that when Adam sinned, something happened to him. Now, what happened to Adam was that there was a block. There was a block to Adam. Now, if I draw another picture, because I usually like to have everything on one page, so you will permit me, it's going to look a bit messy, but I'm going to draw it. So if we combine these two pictures, what you will have is this. You have six circles. Alright. So this will be the Father will be here. This is the Son. This is the Holy Ghost. All right. Now the Holy Ghost will interface with the spirit of man. All right. And the spirit of man will over the soul, and then. So you see, the body is the lowest in that order. This is the order in which it should be. Okay? So, if you're putting this together, that means we have... The most important thing is that there is a block here. You have a block here. And you have a block here. The spirit of man doesn't have control over the soul of man. The spirit of man loses control over the spirit of man. Okay, let me put it this way. When Adam sinned, his spirit lost fellowship with God. Because see, sin has made a barrier, isn't it also? So his sin made, you know, brought darkness entered into him, and he lost fellowship with God. He couldn't contact God anymore. Now, and in doing that, his spirit became weak. You know, because the spirit of man receives life from the spirit of God. That's what, so that the spirit of God bears witness with the spirit, with your own spirit that you are, you know, you are. So the life that comes with the spirit comes from the Holy Ghost. I don't know if I hope I'm not going to confuse you, but you see, there's a scripture that says in Luke says that if the light that is in you is darkness, is great darkness, isn't it so? And it says if your eye be single, then your whole body will be full of light. Now, the soul has. There is an eye. When you say eye, that means there's a connection between the soul and the spirit. You understand? There's a connection. So you can call it an eye. Bible talks about the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. It says that that Eve, her eye was opened. She was not blind. So you could only be talking about the, you know, the soul. The soul has eyes. I'm just trying to say to you. And the eye that the openings in the soul are six. One is the one that opens to the spirit, the other ones open to the body. Because there are five senses, isn't it so? Those senses are openings through which life goes from the soul to the body and vice versa. You understand? So say the five senses. Those five senses, your eyes. She saw. Okay, and it was through her eyes that the darkness came into her soul, you know. But I don't want to push that so much, so that, you know, because we'll come to it. But I want to give you a foundation. So there is a connection between the spirit and the soul, and there's a connection between the soul and the body. All right. So the life of God can only come from one direction, and that is what this picture shows. The life comes from the Father to the Son, from the Son to the Holy Ghost, from the Holy Ghost to the Spirit of man. So that's why I say that your spirit has fellowship with the Spirit of God. Alright? And then this life that comes into your spirit now comes to the soul, and from there to the body. So this is the divine order of bringing life to your soul. Now, if sin comes in, what it means is that this fellowship between the Holy Ghost and your spirit is cut off. And because it is cut off, the spirit becomes weak. The spirit of man becomes weak. The spirit is no longer able to control, bring the life, bring strength to the soul. So the soul becomes detached. You know what? Does its own thing. You know, it's functioning as though God does not exist. Do you understand? You understand? So that Bible said the carnal man is enmity, is in rebellion. You understand? So it has broken the order of God. It's doing as though there is nothing called God or Holy. It's just functioning. It's just like a normal dog, you know. And, you know, it's just doing its own thing. You understand? So that is what the devil wanted man to be. And that is the only way the devil could function in man, by making his soul to be independent of God. Okay? So the man is born into the world, he doesn't know God. He doesn't care about God. In fact, he's happy with his own way of life. You understand? He's doing everything and all that, but he's blind and oblivious of God. Now, this is the state in which the man is born. Now, so when Adam died, or the natural man, his spirit, his soul, and his body entered into darkness. So this man you see here is on the way to hell. Not to use it, because it's, we will see it in the next picture, but it's on the way to the lake of fire. And I use the word that the man is on a free fall. The soul is falling. You know? From a place where you're having fellowship with God, it's going reader, it's going down. And there's nothing to... The only thing that can deliver the soul is if this spirit receives life. If the spirit of God begins to function again, and begins to function so that the spirit is able to pull up the soul. You understand? So that's why you will need this spirit of adoption. So the spirit of God is sent to bring back the soul, to deliver the soul from this perdition. You understand? So the purpose of the work of redemption is for the soul, is going for the soul. The soul must be saved. The soul must be delivered from this journey into darkness. You understand? So darkness entered into man. But you see, that darkness is increasing. He says, in dying, you will continue to die. Alright? So this is what you're looking. So when you talk about resurrection, the resurrection is speaking of resurrection of the soul, resurrection of the spirit, and the resurrection of the body. The body cannot receive change if the soul doesn't receive change. It is the life that is in the soul that goes to quicken the body. You know? So there are three dimensions of resurrection. One is the resurrection of the spirit, the change that comes in the spirit. The second is the change that comes to the soul. And then thirdly, it's a bit hot. Are you feeling hot? Maybe it's because I'm talking. I'm feeling a bit hot.
Okay.
And then, you know, so the Bible talks about the first resurrection, you know, and this resurrection has to come to the spirit, the soul, and the body. Okay. All right. So this is the basic. Yes. Please, you can stop me and ask me a question. I'm about to finish with that.
The adoption.
Yes.
The salvation of the soul.
Uh-huh.
Where is the salvation of the spirit, if there is anything like that?
There is. I've not even talked about the salvation of the soul, but if you look at it, okay. Now, the spirit is saved or delivered or quickened when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is for the spirit, is the deliverance and the quickening. Because at this baptism, the spirit of God comes in fullness into your spirit. You understand? That is that we call the first fruit. It's called the deposit. It's called the down payment. Because until the redemption of the purchased possession. You understand that language? So the real possession is what? Is the soul. So when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it is just a down payment. You understand? It's not the real thing. And that is the problem we have in the church today, because people say that for those who have received the Holy Ghost baptism, they find that their soul still has problem, their emotions has problem, their desire has problem, there's problem in the mind, Because the man has not been addressed. Okay, and when we go over, I will show you. You will see clearly why the man has to be addressed. Okay, because darkness entered into the soul, and this darkness is active, is growing. Okay, let me just mention it. There are four different words used by the Greek to talk about this darkness. The first one, they call it kakos. It means a nature of evil. That the soul is naturally evil. Okay? So when a child is born, his soul is naturally evil by nature. That is one dimension. Now, the other dimension is that this evil, that this nature that is evil, is active. So he used another word, sapros. And in medicine we say it is degenerative. It is degenerating. It's becoming more and more depraved. So what it was today, it will never be next week. It's worse. And if you look at the history of man, you can see it is going down. Or you see the darkness growing. It's because of sapros. It's active. The evil is active. It's getting, you know, it's like when you leave the food. It's as you leave the food, it begins to ferment, and it is continually ferments. So that is what, so you have those two natures. One, an evil nature that is actively becoming more and more evil. Alright? So that's one. Now, use another word, poneros. Now, poneros means hot is pain. Hot, injury, you know, difficulty and all that. Now, they use a fourth word called ponos. Now, this means the business or something that is continually bringing pain and harm and destruction. Alright? So, there are two main forms. One is a nature of evil, and then a nature that causes pain, and both of them are active. The soul is in the business of bringing forth evil. It's like an industry that manufactures evil. Okay, so this is the darkness within the soul. Now, so if you understand that, good. So now, if you understand that now brings us to, we can now begin to talk about the tabernacle. Okay, you want us to come back?
Yes. Sorry,
I asked too much at this time. No, it's
okay. We can ask. This was it originally this way before Adam ate that fruit?
Before Adam ate the fruit, there was no evil in him.
In the soul.
None.
Okay, so the fruit now imputes this darkness.
The fruit was a seed. He says good. He says the fruit. He says the fruit of what? Good and knowledge of good and evil. But it's a seed. So that is not good and evil is darkness. And everything in this life is a story of what? Good and evil. Everything. Your whole life history is what? Some days it is good. Some days it is bad. There is no place where it is good or true, and no place where it is bad or true. Even for the worst man on earth, he has some good moments. Do you understand? So it is that seed that has multiplied. Everything you see in this world is from that seed of good and evil. It's darkness. You understand? So darkness speaks of a low, very low dimension of life. It has good in it. But that good is evil. Because God is light, and Him is no darkness. So this life that we see here is not the life of God.
Okay, Christ came in to bring His life back.
to purge the souls of these darkness.
Yes.
Is it for us something, or something that we need to keep receiving it, or Christ came?
What do you think? Although that's where we are going to, but what do you think?
I was thinking,
as an engineer, how do you think this problem? Because you've seen the problem, yes, that the darkness got internal and is growing, is active.
Yes, because that brought light, and if we receive him, I'm thinking,
where do you receive the light? Look at it. It's here now. Where do you receive the light? Okay, because see, you're jumping the gun, so just slow down a bit. Your questions will be answered, but I'm happy you are thinking in that direction, because it means I'm making sense. Okay, so now let's go quickly to what you're saying. When you come to the tabernacle, you see anything you cannot find in the tabernacle is not in the Bible. Anything in life, you find it in the tabernacle. It's very, very clear. So now let's look at it. Now, the soul will represent as a square. It's an altar. Isn't it so? There are four natures. Okay? The emotion, the will, the mind, and the desire. Now, this is this altar. This altar is outside the tabernacle. This altar has to make its way into the tabernacle. All right? But let's start from before it enters the tabernacle. Because see, if you don't see what it is doing before it goes into the tabernacle, then you won't understand what will happen here. And that is the problem many Christians have, because we don't know what's going on here. Now, what is going on here is that this soul is an altar of Baal. It's involved in devil worship. I hope I can scare you and shake you. This soul is involved in devil worship. This soul is joined to devils. This soul is receiving life. Okay, let's use the word fellowship. The devils, and this soul is the house or the temple of devils. There are four activities that the soul is engaged in even before it comes into the tabernacle. There are four things. One is that the soul, remember, is not receiving life from God. So when darkness entered into man, the devil entered with the darkness. The devil is different from darkness. The devil was an angel created by God. Alright? But you see, he was cast out of the presence of God. Okay, and he decided to become an angel of light, of darkness. You understand? So the only way he could get life from God was to trick man so that darkness would enter into the soul of Adam. So when darkness entered, he entered through the darkness. That is why if you have an evil thought, it's an opening. The devil can come in. And you can be deceived. Because of that accommodation of evil within you, the devil comes in. You understand? Because see, so if anywhere you have darkness, it is an opening for the devil to function. The devil cannot function where there is light. Isn't that so? He cannot function. You see, he cannot come to the light lest his works will be rebuked. So he will always, walk where there is darkness. Because in the darkness, he functions. So for as long as it is in the devil's interest that darkness remains in you. Because as long as darkness remains in you, then he has control over you. When darkness is taken away from you, he has no hand over you. You understand? So, for this soul to function in the kingdom of the devil, this soul has to put on a nature of darkness. Has to function in the realms of a very low energy. You understand? So, the devil wants you to be carnal. He wants your mind, your desires, everything to be at the level. For as long as you are there, then he can have control over you and over me. Okay? So this soul is joined to spirit. Remember, we are looking at it. When the man died, he lost fellowship. And the devil, Bible says that to whomsoever you submit yourself to, his servants you are, to whom you obey. But let's read a scripture that is much more direct. And let's look at Romans 6. Romans 6 is a more direct scripture. And it's Romans 6. Romans 6, 13 and 16. You can read the whole scripture, but Romans 6, 13 and 16, maybe 19 and 20. Romans 6, 13.
Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness,
okay,
unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God.
Now, read 16.
16 says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey.
Good. Okay, we will come to the other one, but it's trying to establish the principle. So when Eve and Adam submitted to the devil, they became servants of the devil. The devil took control. And in so doing, the devil knocked off their fellowship with God. And what happened? God drove them out of the garden. So when he drove them out of the garden, they are outside. You understand? So they are in the realm of darkness. Okay, this darkness is what you call hell, and the Bible says that had delivered me from the lowest hell. If there is the lowest hell, what other form of hell can you have? Deepest hell. Why you stop it deeper? There must be a deepest hell. Good. So this deepest hell is called what? The lake of fire. Or what the Bible calls the second death. You see this in Revelation 20. You can write it down and look at it later in your. Okay? So the Son of Man is in a realm. That's what you're asking. Different from the heaven of God. Everything here you see, this is the realm of heaven. The altar called the holy place and all that. Okay? But even in this place, there are different characteristic. This one is the lowest hell, heaven. This is temporary. This is temporary. This is the permanent heaven. You understand? This is a temporary one. This one is the most temporary. This one is the permanent heaven. Okay. So this is the place. If you are not here, you are not safe, because you can stay. If you are here, you can go back. If you are here, you can go back. You understand? Okay. Good. So here you find the traffic of the soul. So when somebody is born to the world, the soul is born into hell. And this soul is on its journey to where? The lake of fire. So it's on a free fall. I say it's on a free fall to the lake of fire. The man may be happy each day, but it's going where? So he's way to the lake of fire. He may get everything. That's why Jesus said, what shall it profit a man to do what? To gain all the world, and his soul is on a journey going down to the lake of fire. So Paul said, I am preaching. But even as I'm preaching, I'm struggling. Lest after I preach others, I may be what? I may be a castaway. So they say he's struggling that I may attain. Alright? So this is the issue. The issue is not whether you are in church, whether you are in choir. You build this, you did that. All those things. The issue is your soul, was it delivered of the darkness? Now, you see here. So now let's read 19 and 20. I think I can make that point now. 19 to 20.
Same
Romans 6.
I speak after the manner of man, because the infirmities of your flesh, for as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants of righteousness unto holiness. 20 says, for when you were servants
good
of sin, you were free from righteousness.
Okay. Okay.
Says, what fruit had ye then in those things that were of now ashamed? Oh, where of ye are now?
22.
Therefore, the end of those things is death. 22 says, but now being made free from sin,
good,
and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness.
Okay.
And everlasting life.
See, they are mutually exclusive. You understand this one? I mean, the physics, in the physics. Now, the soul of man that is outside of the garden, because this is the garden. The whole idea here, this holiest of all is a garden. That's the garden of Eden. So God is bringing you back to Eden because that's the place of fellowship. Because the soul is supposed to be a place of fellowship. When it is outside, it becomes a wilderness. No life. So all the trees, they die off. Is it not so? And what you find there is thorns and thistles, pain, sorrow, calamity, destruction, and all that. That's all that you have outside. No life. But when it comes in here, that flow begins again. That flow from God. That's a river that begins to nourish and water the soul. But that's not what I want to say. Now, so the soul that is outside of the tabernacle, okay, doesn't feed on the life of God. You understand? It doesn't have the ability to receive life from God. It is feeding on what? It's feeding on darkness. It loves darkness. So John 3 says that men loved darkness because their deeds were evil. That word deeds means business, their affairs. It's in a low energy. The man is cast out of. It's like someone who is you're living in Lekki. The other man is living in VI. He can only function in that realm. To come here, he has to cross the river. Isn't it also? To come to this place. That's like this. So the man that is outside is in the realm of darkness. Okay? So he functions in it, does everything in it. He doesn't receive life from the things of God. That's what he was saying. So when you are not born again, when the man, the soul, is outside of the commandment of God, he doesn't know anything about God. It is exclusive from God. So also, when the soul comes in, okay, it must come to a point where it is no longer receiving life from darkness, where it is no longer feeding on darkness, where it is actually living by the life of God. Jesus said, as I have received from my heavenly Father, and I live by him, so he that eateth of me shall live by me. You understand? So it is possible to come to the point where the life we are receiving is only from God. And they are mutually exclusive. So it's like you have a seesaw, darkness and light. And the soul must make a journey. But the truth is that God says, I will meet you between the wings of the cherubim. So if you decide that you want darkness, no problem. You can have it. But know that God cannot meet with you. Because there's a joining. Don't you understand? There must be a joining of Christ and the soul. Because the soul is the bride. You understand? Now, when man sinned, this joining was cut off. And the soul of man became joined to devils. So either way, the soul must be married. Do you understand? So for the soul to be married to the devil, the soul puts off the nature of darkness. To be married to God, he must put off the old man. He must put off darkness. He must put off carnality, worldliness, all those things. And do what? Begin to put on the nature of Christ. So that he can be joined to Christ. And that is that nature is what you call the nature of the cherubim. It's, you know, the cherubims are made of, you say one is like a lion. The, you know, so those are it's the same thing, it's the same creatures that you find. But it is the nature of the creatures. Is it light or darkness? So the two things are darkness or light. So here you have the kingdom of darkness, and here you have the kingdom of light. Okay? So the purpose of the tabernacle is to bring the soul into a place. Take it out of the kingdom of darkness into a new kingdom. And when the soul comes into this kingdom, it begins a journey. It begins a process. Okay? And this process is described in three ways. So you have what they call the outer court. You have the outer court. You have what they call the holy place. And then the most holy place. So there are three dimensions. But forget about those names. Think of it as your house. Okay? When you enter this house, where do you come to? You enter the reception. That is what the outer court is like. It's the reception. Okay? It is not the real issue. Now, when it must go from the reception to the place of preparation. This is where the soul is changed. This is where the nature of darkness is taken away, and then the nature of light is brought. Now, the soul must receive the nature of light for it to be married to Christ. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. And then this is the bedchamber where there's a union. So this will be like the bedroom. Okay, the innermost chamber where the master and the bridegroom will be joined together. So that is what you're looking at. But in the church today, people enter the reception, they say, we have arrived. And the saddest one is that the so-called end time church, we have stopped on the outer court. In fact, on the way out, many people you know, go and ask God, many people you know are on their way out of the outer court. They're not even going in, they're on their way out. And I'll show you why. You see, this is the problem of the end time church. Consecration. And this is why we have all the arguments we have. It's because men do not want to pay the price. So they come here and they begin to water down the word. And when they get here, they go back. Because if you're not moving forward, you go back. There's no stationary movement. It's either you're moving forward or you're moving back. And majority have taken a downward trend. Many of us have not entered. The soul has not come into the experience of the holy place itself. You know, and we will show that. Okay, so there are three courts mentioned. The outer court, the holy place. Now, all these things are describing experiences of the soul. Because it is this soul that must make the journey. So it is not head knowledge. Oh, I know tabernacle. I know this one. Is this, what are you walking in? What experience are you walking in? The first experience that the soul must come to is the place of judgment. The soul is judged. Now, this altar is made of brass. Okay? And brass is a piece of judgment. Brasses of Judgment. Before this altar entered there, it was an altar of wood, an altar of stone, an altar of earth. It was carnal. It was just raw earth. Okay? Doing its own thing. You know? In fellowship with devils, worshipping devils, joined to, you see, the point is that the soul of man must be joined to spirit. Either the spirit of God or the spirit of devils. Or the spirit of dead uncles and aunties. And the problem of Africa is ancestor worship. So that means our spirit are joined to our ancestors. We are in fellowship with them. We are commune with them. We hear voices from them. We talk to them. We seek their opinion. What we want to do things. You know, so you want to build a house, you go and you must do something. You must tradition. You want to get married, you must do traditional marriage. What is that? You are going back to reawaken the covenants that we made in the past. So this is the culture of the people. That is their way of life. Ancestor worship. The chiefs, the traditional stools, all those things are there. And within the church, some people say it doesn't matter. So within the church, somebody says it doesn't matter. It's for you to count. In fact, it's the most important. Hebrews says what? That you must repent from dead works. Repentance from dead works. What is dead works? Dead works is the activities of this soul outside the tabernacle. That is dead works. It is a dead soul. The soul is dead. It has no life from God. It's doing its own thing. And it is the sum total of all those things that the soul is doing that you call culture. Culture is the way of life of a people. Isn't it so? That's culture. Traditions. And what the other one? And customs. Okay? And the word uses the word cosmos. It means an orderly arrangement of social life, of the way people do things. That is what they call cosmos, world, you know. And of course, we have the arrangement right from the family chief to compound chief to village chief to clan chief to tribal chief, and then it goes on and on and on. And God told Abraham, you must come out. From where? From your father's house. From your tribe. And from your nation. Those are different levels of darkness. So there's a darkness that is working in the family. There's a darkness working in the tribe. And the one working in the nation. And those levels we must overcome. And you overcome them here. Now, When the soul comes, it is judged. What is the judgment? The judgment is by the Holy Ghost. Say that He has given us the Holy Ghost to what? Convict the world of what? Righteousness. Of sin. Okay? So when the soul is convicted, it repents. Say, oh, I'm sorry, and all that. Has it addressed the nature, the kakos? Has it addressed all those things within the soul? No. What is addressed is that the blood, it says when you come, you must take the blood and bring it upon the four horns on the altar. Because it says, when I see the blood, what will happen? I'll pass over. See, there can be no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. So the shedding of blood is just to forgive the man and say, okay, come in. You can come in. It has not addressed the nature of the soul. It does not address his custom. It has not addressed his lifestyle. It does not address his preference. The man says, I am God. Don't you understand? Adam says, when you eat this, you shall be like God. Your eyes will be opened. You're on the same level. So as far as the soul is concerned, it is God. Self is God. Okay, so he comes here and says, I'm sorry. So when your child says, I'm sorry, it's okay. No, it's okay. If you say you're sorry, Rabbi says, show that you are sorry. Okay, so it's one thing to say you are sorry, you will say, God forgive me, but the nature must be changed. There must be a change. And even before the nature, something must happen. So there must be, so the place of salvation, this place experience, is where the blood comes into the soul. Now the Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood. That's the question we're asking. Now this soul here has never received the life of God. Do you understand? So it comes to a place when the blood comes. So with that blood comes the life of God. So the life of God comes into the soul, and of course it quickens the spirit, and the man for the first time sees, his eyes are opened, and he sees the love of God, the mercy of God, and all that. And you know, he recognizes God as Father, and the relationship begins. So that is the purpose of the first experience, being born again, is that he sees the kingdom. He sees God. He sees the light of God. He begins the relationship. It's like a child. He can't walk in the spirit. He's not strong. He's a babe. He eats, he drinks milk. He cannot receive strong food. He cannot receive mature things. So he's still the babe. He has not started. He's just a babe in God, in Christ. And he has to grow to begin to, you know, discern good and evil. He can't discern what is good, what is evil. Do you understand? Because it's a child, it's a babe. You understand? So this is just a foundation. He just come into the kingdom. So now must make a deeper move. And what is that deeper move? He must come to the place of consecration, sanctification, and baptism, initiation. This soul was initiated into darkness. In the garden, don't you understand? It was an initiation. The woman took, what did he do? He gave to the woman. Any place you go and do initiation, you must eat something. Do you know anybody who has done initiation and didn't eat? Even in the lodge, they eat there. Bible said that they ate the sacrifices of the dead. Traditional marriage, you must eat. Covenant must be sealed by eating. Alright? So, when the soul comes, it must come to the place of consecration. And now, consecration means separation. Now, what is this separating himself from? He's separating himself from idol worship, from Baal worship. Baal worship is not the one you think of. Baal worship is, you know, is within the soul. It's something that I will get into that later. Alright? So, it must begin to separate itself from the world, from the things in the world. He said, love not the world or the things in the world. For all that is in the world is what? The love of the Father, the love of the lust of the flesh, a lust of the eyes. This soul receives life by the lust of the flesh. Remember this flesh, those five senses. That's how the soul feeds. So this soul cannot feed from God. What do you want him to do? You use what you have to get what you need. You know, so it has body. So this soul turns and becomes carnal. So it begins to receive life from what it sees, from the sight. So this, you have a sight gate. It's a gate. You have the feeling. This is another gate. You have hearing. You have the things you touch. You have smell. Then you have taste. Okay, and of course, you have the what I call the east gate. Okay, that connects the spirit to the soul. This one is blocked. No life is coming from there. So the man, the soul is beastly. It's just like any animal. It's just. Bible says it is sensual. That means it is controlled by the senses. It's what it sees. The man says, if I can't see it, it doesn't make sense. So the soul relates to the physical world and not to the spiritual world. You know? So when it comes to this point, it must be initiated. It must come to the point when it makes a public declaration, I will no longer walk in the flesh. That is what this consecration means. That I will not be a spiritual soul. I will no longer be a carnal, physical, naturally controlled. I will not be controlled by the things I hear, by the things I see, by the things I'm feeling. Oh, I have headache, so I must have malaria in the next 10 minutes. You understand? So you're not going to walk by that. Even though my body is saying headache, no. The blood of Jesus says, I am healed by his stripes. That's the practicality. Somebody says, no, because your grandfather died at age 60. Your father died at age 60. You are 59. Say, so you go and dig the grave. Because by next year, you are going to die. It is evidence. The man said, no, it is true. It has happened. My people die at 60. It's evidence, you know, so he has heard it. He has seen it. Hallelujah. But there is something he has not seen, faith. Faith is what? The substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. In other words, that is the sixth sense. You know, so faith is the sixth sense. So you are working on something that you have not seen. If God says it to you, you believe it. Abraham, pack your load. I'm taking you to Canaan. Where is Canaan? I don't know. Don't you understand? Foolish man, you are going to Canaan. Have you been there before? Shouldn't you go to Canaan and look at the land? See how it is there. You come and not carry your wife and go there. He said, no, we are all going together. So God said, Abraham believed God. Yeah. And it was counted unto him for righteousness. You understand? So that is the practicality. That's a work of faith. God says it. I believe it. He settles it. So even if the man said, God said, I will have a son. 25 years, he was waiting for a son. Say, stupid man. I don't know what. So such a fine man. Look at what he's now saying. That God said he will have a son. Can a woman that is 70 years have a son? A man. Every day they are mocking him. They said, God says, I will have a son. And God came and fulfilled. So when he was 100 years old, Abraham had a son according to the word of God. So if God gives you a word, you can't see it. But you have an evidence. What is the evidence? That witness you have in your heart that this is what God is saying to you. That is the faith. You know? So you can go on and on. So you can see faith in the tabernacle. Is there? And you have a relationship and it's growing. So you now see that, look, I must separate myself from father, from tribe, from nation. Now, what?
Rudiments of
this world. The rudiments and the principles of this world. Now, if I separate myself from this, what is remaining now? Everything is gone. So that means that a man is a stranger in this world. He's a stranger. So he cannot be like the other people. But today, the Christians are the most worldly set of people you can meet. We love the world more than even the unbelievers. And that means that we don't understand what God is saying to us. That we are called to a place of separation and consecration. So, consecration means separation from the world. Sanctification means that which you have separated, you now purify it. So, it's a double work. God separates you. So that he can make you more and more and more and more. So he that has this hope. As you are looking at the mirror, you are becoming, you know, changed. Now that brings us to the third aspect of this lever. And that third aspect is baptism. Now the baptism is in water, it's natural. It's a man that baptizes in water. And I hear there is one swimming pool here, so we already have a place to baptize. So anybody that is not baptized, just go out. And it is time. Amen. So, but don't go to the deep part. Make sure you stay. Make sure you stay where your leg is on the ground. I remember when Brother Hubert went to Sierra Leone. They went to the shore. It's the Atlantic Ocean. It's not anything. It's the real thing. Amen. And the thing went woo. Before they knew what was happening, they were going with the water. They shouted. The man jumped inside and delivered them. When they went by the Atlantic Ocean, the guy had no baptism. Eh? So you must make sure your leg is strong on the ground before you go in the way.
Sorry, let me ask you this.
Yes. Yes. Please ask before now we are moving on, so if there's anything, let's ask her. We can go back and
he says that Christ entered the tabernacle once and for all. And that is, the atonement was once, not something to be repeated again as well. The implication is that he's seated in the heavenly place as the high priest. Which means the holy place and the most holy place where the veil was torn. So that veil that was torn, I just wanted to relate it to the spiritual. What's the spiritual connotation?
Okay. What it meant is that you have this veil, and the scripture tells us that the veil is the flesh. The veil is the flesh. Okay. In the Old Testament, the high priest couldn't go beyond, except once. Once every year, he goes in. You understand? Now, this high priest was from the tribe of Aaron. Which tribe is Jesus from? So it shows that there is something new happening. So that priesthood had a limitation. He couldn't cross. You understand? But Jesus, who was a high priest, on the day when he made his own offering, the temple, this thing was broken. You understand? So that means he had access. And remember, based on what I'm saying, nobody wants to come to holy place. Is it holy place you want to come to? Because this holy place is temporary. Because on the day of atonement, there are differences between a Levite and a priest. A Levite was somebody who was from the tribe of Levi. A priest were only those who were from the tribe of Levi, number one, and also sons of Aaron. So it was only the priests, the sons of Aaron, that could come into this place. Even the Levites, they couldn't enter. They only stopped at the outer court, which is called the Tabernacle of the Congregation. All right. Now, the Bible said on the Day of Atonement, the priests that are here, they go out. Everybody that is here, so everybody is going out. So here and here are empty, because the Bible says on that day, the high priest will sanctify the holy place and sanctify the altar. And that while he is doing it, nobody will be found here. Do you understand? And the Bible says that now, that's where we have come to. We have come to that day of atonement. In other words, people are moving back. Whether you like it or not, you must go out. Or you move forward. And the only way you can move forward is to be inside the high priest. Do you understand? That's the question you're asking. The high priest, which is Christ, which is from another priesthood, because he's from the tribe of Judah. So that means his own priesthood is not the priesthood of Aaron. Jesus came and started a new priesthood, which is the New Testament experience.
What I was thinking was once and for all.
No, he's not repeating it. He's not repeating it. We are coming into the experience. It's like he gave you a check. Go and cash it. Okay? So when he did it, he opened the way for you to also follow him. But you see, you cannot go in by your strength. You go in Christ. Do you understand? When you are in Christ, then you can go in. Now, how can you go in? How can you go in? Because in Christ, there is only one head. Okay? Now, that brings in the concept of Christ and the body, which is a very, very, very important point. Now, so in Christ, you have one head. And who is that head? Is a man called Jesus. Sorry, this is a man called Jesus. Now, the doctrine of Christ is that God is coming to dwell in human flesh. That's the doctrine of Christ. The doctrine of Christ. Of Christ. Is what? Emmanuel. What is Emmanuel?
God has come down to us.
God in Cletus. God in Adyanim.
Okay, wrong.
Wait now. Yeah, let's finish this one now. If not, you confuse us. Wait, just slow down. Let's finish this one. So God in Cletus. God in put your name. That is what Christ means. You understand? Good. So you have Christ the head. This is a very important point too. Maybe more important than even the tabernacle I'm talking about. And then the body. So today we'll settle this issue of the body. Who is the body? Who is the body? Answer now. How many heads do you have? Good. You have one head. Anybody that has a head is not part of the body. If you have a head, then you are not part of the body. How you know you are part of the body is that you become headless. So this body is headless souls. Headless souls. Meaning you must be beheaded. Do you know any man who is beheaded and is alive? So you must make a head offering. You must make a head offering. So for you to be in that high priest, to break through that veil, you must come to the place where you offer your head. Say, God, I give you my head. How do you eat? When you ate this afternoon, were you eating through your leg? Oh, really? How many people do you know who eat through their leg? Maybe. When you want to eat, you say, yeah, maybe that food, the food in the leg. Okay, travelers. That one, pain comes, so that one is not eating. The eating is in the head. It is the responsibility of the head to feed the body. Do you understand? For as long as we are not trusting God to nourish our soul, we are not in the body. For as many as we are going around, bringing pleasure to our soul, so what pleasure? Television, this one. We are all looking for pleasure. We are still headed. That is the implication of it. So to be in the body means you have come to the point you say, Lord, I submit to you. Ephesians 5 said that the husband does what? Nourishes and what? Cherishes, even as Christ, the body. Do you understand? So how you know those who are in the body is that they are being fed by Christ. Their soul is being nourished and refreshed by Christ. They are not being nourished by the world. How are you nourished by the world? Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride. These are things that give you life. Do you understand? So this is the concept of the body. So Christ is coming for a headless body. And that headless body is in a realm of the spirit. It's the souls of men who are in a realm of the spirit called Christ. So when you are in that place, my brother, you have broken through the veil. And that experience of Christ begins to function in you. You are joined to the high priest. Because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom. You understand? So you cannot on your own break through. You can break through by submitting to Christ.
That experience is going to take away the. Is it going to bring man back to the original state?
Of course, now. Christ. What?
The thorns.
Of course, now. God is moving. The thorn is become a garden. He said, your soul will be like a watered garden. Do you understand? So when you are in Christ, you break through the veil and you come into the garden. He said, your soul will be like the cherubim, because the cherubims are submissive to God. That's what it means. They ever live to say holy, holy. That anything they, the only thing they know is submitting to God, and that is where your mind should come to, and that's where my mind should come to. Where your will is my will. I don't desire anything. The only thing I desire is what God desires. Do you understand? My emotions are the emotions of Christ. That is the wife of Christ. Say, God will meet you between the wings of the cherubim. So it is possible to come there, and the only way to come there is in Christ, not by struggling.
Yeah, because that's where I don't want to be struggling to have to be made.
Walk by faith. Bible said the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit. Yeah. There is a difference between spirit life and flesh. It's not struggling, not by willpower. See, those who are not born again, not by the will of man. Say, today, I will not watch television again. In fact, let the work come and carry this television. You have not started. It has not solved the problem. You solve the problem by bringing it as an offering to God. I don't know, do you know the difference? One, you are taking a resolution, I will not watch. I will not do so. So the other one is saying, Lord, take the, I give it to you. I like it. Create in me a clean heart. Change my appetite. Then it's not you are struggling. You are praying to God. Say, God, change my appetite. And you are waiting on God to do it. You understand? And then when you want to, you say, God, you know, help me. You begin to work at it. It's different. Because it's not your energy. When you mean, something you pray about, you, it means you cannot do it. Do you understand? If you want to buy a car, do you pray about the car? The car is 1 million. You have 10 million in the bank. He's gonna say, which color will I buy? Maybe the black. Black is, there are too many blacks in Lekki. Maybe I buy white. You don't know white. Everybody will know me. Okay, I buy gray. You take it for okay. You write the check. You have not prayed though. You wrote the check. Do you understand? There's no faith involved in that one. But faith is when the money don't day. Oh my God. Deliver your child. Have yourself of your God. You like that? Everybody, you understand? There are two different things. So if you can do it, then you don't need God. You don't need God. So there are two things. One is the power of the flesh. And by flesh shall no man prevail. Do you understand? You can't overcome by your strength. So yeah, I will do this, I will do that. It's not a will, or it's not your willing. It is an offering. Man is a priest. This soul you see here is a priest. The priest of God. That, this new priesthood they are talking about. Jesus was a priest after the order of Melchizedek. And the people there, it is the mind and emotions that are the priest. That's what you see in Revelation 4 and 5. Do you understand? So you don't go to church. You are church. Your mind is the priest that should bring the offering to God. So God, I give you my mind. I worship you in my mind. The thoughts you think, that is the worship. You understand? It's the thoughts you think that is the worship. The emotions, how you feel about me, how you feel about the other person, that is worship. You understand? So when you understand that, then you know that. Because if you do those things, it means you are an altar of Baal. Bringing injury to people, causing injury to people, you know, so causing hurt and pain, you know. And in a relationship, either in marriage or you have a friend, it's the same thing, you know. So this is a practical thing. So this soul must come from the point of judgment, from the point of being worldly. Remember, this soul is being ruled by spirits. So the baptism is saying, God, every spirit, listen to me. From today onwards, I will be an altar of Christ. I will bring worship to God. My thoughts will bless God. My emotions will glorify God. See, whatever you do, you know, glorify. Set your emotions, your affections on the things above. Do you understand? The emotion and the desire, they conspire. Emotion says, if I eat this food, I will feel very happy. Desire says, is that what you want? Okay, I will desire it. Say, you will. Now, two of us have agreed. You must make sure you do it. And you got to eat the food. Is it not so? That's what happened to Eve. Say, she saw that it was a fruit that will make her good. And she took of it and ate and gave to her husband. You know, so that thing was reversed. Where the emotion will feel good. He said, my meat is to do the will of God. So when you think of the scripture, you feel good. Say, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. The man ran to the house of God. Don't you understand? He closed work and ran. You understand? So the things of God are now making him feel good instead of feeling bored. So, church again. Oh, 1 hour. Why is man wasting time? After 1 hour, it's okay. It's okay. 1 hour is okay. Champions League is 3 hours. They are still sitting down. They have not gotten up to go and even eat. They are watching Arsenal and they are shouting and kicking everything around you. Do you understand what I say? It's the same emotion. That emotion can love God and be excited at God. Amen. But you must offer it to God. Say, God, I give you my emotions. I give you my desires. I give you my will. So that means, see, this altar is moving. Is it not so? Now, you can, it enters the holy place. That is the place of preparation.
So after that brass, that is the lever.
Right? That's the lever, yeah.
That's the consecration.
That's the place of consecration. You are consecrating yourself. You are saying, my emotions will now be given over to spiritual things. You understand? You are setting your affection on it. That is what it means that water baptism. You are saying to every spirit in your village, Jesus has changed. They'll come and try you. You say, okay, now we'll see. They will descend on you, they will knock your car, do everything possible to make sure you change. Do you understand? So there's going to be war. Alright? So then that is physical baptism. Then there is the Holy Ghost baptism. Alright? When the Spirit of God now comes fully into your spirit from the Spirit of God. You understand? Now, the Bible said that if any man has the Spirit of Christ, he is in the Spirit. Do you understand? When the Spirit of God comes upon you, your soul is now anointed. You understand? You are no longer the same kind of person because now the Spirit of God is resident in your spirit. So you are a different person. It's a consecration. You understand? And from that, from when the Spirit of God comes into your spirit, remember, it wants to adopt your soul as a son of God. So it will not stop. It must. He said that the Spirit of God is always striving. Isn't that so? And he's striving to make you a son. Alright? But the Bible said that as long as the hair, the soul is the hair. As long as the hair is a child, what is happening to him? He is subject to governors, to bondage, to the elements of the world. Isn't that so? For a long time, the church has been in that place of childishness. We are bound by religion. We are bound by traditions. We are bound by, you know, loss of the flesh and so on. That's where the church has been. But that doesn't mean that you have the call to be a son. But you're not a son yet. Do you understand? The potential, when you see a hair, like that small boy now, everywhere he goes, he moves his shirt. You know that boy now? You don't know that one? Anywhere he goes, he moves his shirt. They publish it in the internet. He's called. That's why they're following him, because he's number what on the list? He's number something something on the list. He's number something something on the list. You know, so he's being ruled by elements. He hasn't come to maturity yet. If he's mature, he will be moving shit everywhere he goes to. That's how what is happening to us. We are called to be sons. Do you know, man is called to be a son of God. Do you understand? A son of the whole universe. Have you entered the plane before, aeroplane? And you look out of the window. Do you look out of the window like me? Me, I sit by the window. And I'm asking God, are you the one that made all these things? Do you understand? And I read the other day, it said Jupiter is how many times bigger than the earth? And God made those things. What do you think will be happening to all those planets? What do you think will be happening to all those planets? Anyway, leave it. We will get there one day. I have a theory. I won't give you my theory today. Don't worry. One day I'll give you my. Okay, let me give you a scripture. The many mansions are the ones you see here. In my father's house are many mansions. Bible says that they that walk in righteousness shall shine forth as the stars. In the kingdom of their father. You know, that's for another day. Anyway, but what we're saying is that our call is to be sons and to be part of the Godhead. Do you understand? And I'm trying to say that this God is so big that he can take notice of, you know, in fact, they can't find you on the map if they really put you in the back of God. You are not there. Your matter is too small. Do you understand? Yet God says that you will be part of the Godhead. That's the mystery of godliness. Amen. So God is bringing you, but you see, because it is the calling is so high, that's why the work has to be deep, and he must deal with the soul. So the Holy Ghost is given so that it can now change these four creation in these natures. Now these natures are natures of light. If I just touch it a bit, if you go to Revelation, Ezekiel, he says that these creatures had four wings. When you go to Revelation, they show they had six wings. What do you do with wings? Wings help you to fly, isn't it so? Or rather, to move in the things of God. So it means that this man is going to progress to the point where it can ascend. So it shall mount up with wings as eagle. You understand? So the nature of the soul has to change so that it can progress in the things of God. It can move forward. It can mount up and appear in the presence of God. So many changes are going to come to the soul. One of the things is said that these creatures, they had eyes within and without. You see, those things are openings. The eyes that are within are the things you use to receive life from God. The ones that are outside are from where life flows out. So life more coming to go out. See, out of the belly will flow rivers of water. But the waters, the river must flowing first. You know, and that's where fellowship comes in. And that is the importance of spirit anointed ministry. Any ministry that is brought in the flesh cannot change the soul. It's only the spirit that can change the soul. So we all beholding the face, is it not? I change from glory to glory as by the Spirit of God. So, and there is so much carnal ministry in the church today. We minister in the flesh. And ministry of the flesh doesn't add anything to you. It cannot change your soul. If not, it brings more darkness. It is only the ministry that comes by the Spirit of God that can change you. And in the church, there are so much contemporary songs. The contemporary songs are good. But you know what? They don't sing about consecration. Check. And you see, any song that doesn't bring you to a point of consecration will not move you in. You feel good, you dance, but you see that there's no life. Most of the songs you hear are all, oh, Lord is good, Lord is good, Lord, I worship you. I worship you is not with the mouth. I worship you is when you submit your mind to God. Do you understand? It's a consecration. So most of the songs you see are empty. They're just words. I worship you, all those things. And within you, you know there's no depth. The depth comes when there is consecration, when the man is laying down his life. I lay it down. The things I used to do, I don't want to do it again. God, I give it to you.
And this,
take it away. You see the depth.
And this is a daily experience.
Oh, yes. The Paul said, I die daily. You know? So it's a walk. So you have to get the oil. There's no magic. You cannot today, you're born again, and you must go and buy the oil. You must buy the midnight. You must go to God. You must walk with God. You know? So it's a daily thing. You know, it's a walk. And it's that walk that brings you into that place of the Spirit. So you have the baptism in the water, the baptism in the Holy Ghost. And it is, the Bible said that by one Spirit are we baptized into the body. You understand? In other words, the Spirit of God will bring you to submit to Christ. And when you are baptized into the body, it will now bring you to the place where you do three things. The first thing you do is it brings you to the place of the lampstand. And then it brings you to the place of this table of shewbread. So there is bread, wine, and then there is the Holy Spirit. And here you have the light. I have the tree. This is a tree. Because on this thing was, you have flowers and fruits. So it's a tree. Okay? And it's also a light. So you have seven pieces of light. And then you will now have a table. And it is this table that they carry and enter. And this table has rings. Okay? And this altar. Okay, so those rings speak of marriage. You understand? With that, those rings, they carry it and move in. So, if the soul is not ready for marriage, you cannot cross. Do you understand? So, it's that offering that you give that makes it possible for to cross. But before you can offer your soul, you must come to the experience of the lampstand, that is walking the Spirit. And it is the Holy Ghost that baptizes you, that brings you into that experience. So the two things, there are three things that mark out the life of Christ is one, the life of the Spirit, the life of the bread, and the place of prayer. Prayer, Spirit, Word. And the Bible says in First John 5 that there are three things that bear witness. The Spirit, the water, that is the Word, and the blood. Okay, there are three things. Okay? And those are the things you see here. Okay? So, now, I don't know how much. It's 9 o'clock. Okay? Tomorrow, I will just start from here and then finish up. So you find the experience of the lampstand. There are two things. One is the light. The light is produced by, if you get a light, you need a wick, isn't it? So, and the wick is put in water. Now, your spirit is the wick. That wick speaks of humanity. The Bible says, the spirit of man is what? The candle or the lamp of the Lord, giving light to the inward part. When you light this place, everything here is illuminated. So, this speaks of the realm of the soul. Alright? So, it is the light that comes from the Spirit that opens up, that anoints the Word of God. The Word of God is not academics. So people can, you know, take it, analyze it. There are seven chapters, five languages. All those are academics. But there's an anointing that comes from the Word that opens it up. And that one, you cannot learn it. You know, so, and that is what he's saying here. So the Spirit of God illuminates the soul. Sorry, brings light upon the spirit. Remember, the Holy Ghost is in fellowship, so the Spirit of God lights, you know, brings quickening, brings light to your spirit, and that light brings life to the soul. That's the way it goes. Remember, we said the order is spirit, soul, and body. So the Spirit of God lights your spirit, and this, and that's why you see praying in the spirit. Say praying in tongues. You edify yourself. there's a link with the Spirit of God, and the life of God begins to flow. Now, many of us do not have fire because that communion is dry. There's no flow. You know, we are, our spirits are dry because there's no life. We're not in communion. We're not fellowshipping with God. The Word of God is spirit. So the words I speak to you, they are spirit and life. When you read the Word of God, you bring life to your spirit. You understand? And there's a project we are doing now in Port Harcourt. We call it 4 chapters a day. Every day you read 4 chapters. Try it. If you do it for 1 week, you will be different. I'm telling you, you will call me on the phone. 1 week, 4 chapters a day. You will call me and say it is true. Try it. So many of us are weak because we don't give time. No matter how tired you are, 4 chapters a day. Write it down. You can even make your own 6 chapters a day. You read 2 in the morning, 2 in the afternoon, 2 at night. Just read it. It brings life. You will begin to enjoy it. You begin to look forward to it. And as you read, God begins to open up the scriptures. You know, so that's something you can do. So Bible reading is very important. Try and, you know, it's very difficult, but you build it into your schedule. You know, so that's the light that comes. And as the light begins, as the spirit begins to come, the spirit brings fruits. Don't you understand? The fruit of the spirit is joy, peace, love. You want to be patient. You are patient by walking in the spirit. You will see that you begin to be impatient. You don't need to struggle. You just see the fruit coming. You will see self-control. All those things will just begin to come because it's the Spirit that brings them. Now, the Spirit of God cannot come to you except by the Word. Where there is no Word, the Spirit will. Because the Word of God is what? Is the sword of the Spirit. The Word of God follows the Spirit, and the Spirit follows the Word of God. So when you read the Word of God, then the Spirit will come upon it. You understand? And life will flow. So if you want to have life, you go to the Word. As you go to the Word, because the Word is Spirit, it will trigger out the Spirit of God and it will begin to function in you. So you will have light and you will begin to experience that tree of life. The life of God begins to grow in you. You are the soil, isn't it also? The seed of God begins to come and you see that you become fruitful in the things, you know. The life of God comes forth. Righteousness brings life. Anything that, you know, every living thing grows, isn't it also? So also the things of God. If the life of God is coming to you, you will grow and you will see responsibility, your understanding, your relationship with God will grow, and all that. And you see it will grow, you know. So that is the lampstand. The bread, this true bread, is a place of nourish, is a place of, you know, the bread. Jesus said, I'm the bread, you know, partaking of Christ. Now, there are 3 dimensions of Christ. Christ is a man. There's a man called Jesus. Anywhere Christ is mentioned, he will be there. That's one. Now, there is Christ in you. See, Christ in you, what is it? It's the hope of glory. The Christ in you is not fully formed. Say, I pray again that the Christ might be formed in you. You understand? Now, people think that the Christ in them is full. No, no, no. Because the Christ in you is not yet formed, and the one in me is not fully, that means that's why there must be checks and balance in the body. You understand? Now, there is Christ in our midst. Where 2 or 3 are gathered, I am there in their midst. Those are 3 dimensions of Christ. Christ in you, Christ in the midst. See, I walk in the midst of the 7 candlesticks. Now, if Christ is in our midst, that means his authority is not transferred. He's here. You understand? So, the authority of Christ is only delegated. He is still the head of the church. Because he is here. As we're talking now, he is here personally. Do you understand? So, it's not as though he has gone far and then you are now acting for him. You cannot act for him. He's here. So anything you want to do, you ask him, what should we do? And he will tell you, do this and that. Because his authority is transmitted. Because he said, I will ever be with you. Lo, I am with you always. Anywhere you are, Christ is there. And will forever be there. That's wonderful. You know so. So you don't need to go far. You can always consult him. He's there. He will tell you what to do. And you know that God can be real to you more than this chair. The thing is that our souls, we are so far away from God. The closer we draw to God, we see that he is more real than the physical world. And we can relate to that reality and practicality of God. You know? And when we begin to walk in that dimension, then we begin to, like someone was asking, you walk with God. Every day you are walking with God. And it's an adventure. It's exciting. Because, you know, when you have a problem, say, let me see how God will solve this one. It's not so you say, I'm not sure. Am I really sure God can deliver me out of this? When you come, say, praise God. That means another miracle is coming. Because you know what he did before. Because he did it before, he will do it again. That's why I said our father, took our fathers from the wilderness, he did so and so. They are remembering the testimonies of what he did. If he did it then, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Then that builds our faith to believe God, you know, to act on our behalf. That is the work. You know. So many of us will throw away our opportunities. No, I don't want this problem. I want to get out of it. How will you grow? You cannot have a miracle unless they have a difficulty. Huh? Good. So when you face a problem, one brother says, I love challenges. Because when challenges come, then I'm going to have a miracle. You know. So, it's the reality of Christ. So, this Christ, he's here, and he's one that fits the soul. Say, the Lord is my shepherd. Huh? He leaded me beside, and he restored. He will make your soul that has been filled with thorns and thistles to be like a garden. Say, my beloved has gone to his garden. Eh? He's relaxing in his garden. He's having fellowship with you. Say, I behold, I knock. I will have sup with you, and you with me. He wants to have fellowship with you. So as he's having fellowship, then he's taking away the sorrows, take away the thorns and thistles, all the bad testimonies. Somebody says, my testimony is nearly always. You know, just when it was about to happen, there's something happened. You know, but God can change it. Where is you see the reality of it. Amen. And then, you see, those two experiences will prepare yours to come to this place of offering where the soul is offered. Now, what does that mean? That means, at this point, you have made up your mind. I don't want anything to do with darkness. I want to be joined to Christ. I want to be a bride of Christ. I want to walk with God. I want to walk in the light. And so there's an offering. You're offering yourself. It's a daily thing, you know. And you are ready to be joined together, ready for marriage. And, you know, and you see, this is the only thing that breaks through the veil, this altar that comes in. And then you have the table of the ark, okay, and then the mercy seat where you have the cherubims. And God says that he's the one that dwells between the wings of the cherubim. So it's an experience. So the tabernacle gives you a true view of the work. You know, you can fit in everything you want. Can be fitted in. Now, through the church, you know, people have walked and have stopped at different points. Martin Luther came and said, the just shall live by faith. You know so? And some people stop there. Alright? And the only thing they know is, even in some churches, they don't even believe that one. They don't even believe you can be born again. Alright? So that was the first experience. The just shall live by faith. Some other people moved on forward. They say, you can be baptized. Okay? And they stop there also. Some people even believe in water baptism. Others say, you can also be baptized in the Holy Ghost, but you stop there. You cannot be perfect. You cannot overcome the world. You cannot so and so and so. You cannot overcome traditional marriage. You just follow the people of the world. That means they have drawn the line. The Bible says we are not of them that draw back. We must press on. Yeah. You know so. And then God began to speak to us a few years ago and said, look, you must go beyond Pentecost and come to the fullness. And then that began a great move. You know, it's many years ago. You were talking about George Warnock, 1948. That was when the first move of coming out of Babylon, that was when you had it. And do you know that they formed what they call the literary movement? They formed a denomination from it, 1948. Full Gospel Businessmen was an outcome of that 1948 move. Okay? So that one became a church. But God stayed there. God moved on. Alright? And then, so all through time, you have people who say, okay, we want to go on. And when they go, they form a denomination. Assemblies of God, Presbyterian Church, Wesley, Anglican. Oh, these were moves where they had, there was a genuine moving of God. But you see, they all sidetracked because they didn't see through. Now, God is not interested in Anglican Church, Pentecostal, Holy Church movement of Lekki. The other one is the True Faith Church of Lagos. God is looking for souls. He said, I will meet you between the wings of cherubim. You know, so the challenge we have is to be able to see through and to press on, not to be distracted, you know, to become an organization or a denomination. You see, when that happens, God just moves on, because God has one permanent interest. He's looking for a man that will break through and come to this place. And the problem we have in the church, the end time church, is that many of us think that by calling ourselves end time, that we have arrived. In fact, if anything, we are outside. But what did they say that on that day, that the Gentiles will take over the outer court? It's not so. What it means is that worldliness will overrun. Yeah. If the worldliness, what are you outside? So the outer court can never be measured. You must move in. And even moving, the only place that matters now is to break through the veil. You understand? You must press on to break through the veil. You know? So that's why you find the burden of the world is on breaking through the veil, on consecration. Because those are the things that will now we'll deal with it. So I think we can leave it at this point. Tomorrow we will spend more time on talking about the holy place, the holiest of all. We'll talk about the Day of Atonement, because you see, to come through means to come to the place of atonement. And you are talking about Jubilee. You know, the trumpet of Jubilee sounded on the 10th day of the seventh month, the same day of atonement. That's when the trumpet is blown. So the atonement is the place where you get freedom from sin. You understand? So anybody, if you want to be anywhere, you must be in the place of atonement. Now, what are you atoning yourself for? 1, 2, 3, 4. The soul has been a house of devils. You understand? So you must afflict the soul so that it will stop harboring spirits. He must stop worshipping spirits. He must love. He must stop. He said that has loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Now those are the issues. And he says anybody that will not afflict his soul will be cut off. In other words, it is in this day of atonement that you have a separation in the church. Those who are afflicting themselves are moving on. Those who are not afflicting themselves, what is happening? They're going back. So you have Lot. You have Abraham. One is looking with his eyes. He's taken away by the things, you know. He says, let us take us back to Egypt. We remember the garlics and the leeks and the cucumbers. I hope I can have time to tell you about them. The garlic and the cucumbers. Let me tell you one about cucumber. Do you know what's cucumber? It means a hard substance that doesn't give life. That's cucumber. Anything you are doing that doesn't bring nourishment to your soul is cucumber. And many of us desire the cucumber. The things in the world, there is no Nollywood film that can teach you any righteousness. There is no Hollywood film that can teach you obedience and patience. If you like, watch all of them. You say, oh, I want to know about the history of Britain. Forget it. Go to God, He will tell you the history. You understand? So there are many cucumbers, many things in the world that we desire that doesn't add anything to our soul. You understand? Yet we desire them. So, then you might take us back to the leeks and the garlics. You understand? And these are the things that we are desiring And God is saying, we must bring our soul. We must trouble our soul. We must afflict our soul. So that it will no longer be joined to spirits. It will no longer give life to spirits. It will no longer have fellowship, you know, with devils. It says that Babylon, it says that it has the rot of the... it says that Babylon, all nations have drunk of the wine of the rot of our fornication. That wine means passion. So it have drunk of the passion. You know, that means the soul is being fed by the passion of interaction with spirits. That's Babylon. He said, Babylon, say, we are Lord. See, wherever the eagle is, or wherever the god vultures are, they will gather, there must be a dead body. Where the dead body is, that's where the vultures will come. Where there's no life, that's where you see the crowd. Dead body. The vultures come together. And in the world, there are so many dead bodies. What is the dead body? Something that doesn't have life. It doesn't give you life. We are crowding. We want this, we want this, we want this, we want this. Everybody's running around and there's no life. That is Babylon. And we have, you know, the passions. And that's what the soul is interested in, passions of the world. And God is saying, look, instead of being this passion, come to me and I will feed you. He says, come to me and I will give you rest. You know? So it's a choice we have to make to move on in God, or we continue with this fellowship with spirits. You know? And man loves it. Man is used to devil worship. You know, the goodness. Bible talks about the deceitfulness of sin. Don't ever tell that sin is not a sweet. There's a sweetness. There's a deception. Amen. The man that goes to steal, prays, say, oh Lord, let me just go this once. I'll give a tithe. You know so? Did they tell you that was the Chinwe sister? You know, the people that kidnapped her, we have a happy prayer meeting. Isn't it also? What's her name again? Onyinye. She told us the happy morning devotion. Kidnappers are happy morning devotion. It's no story. This one we saw it now. We met the girl and talked. Somebody we know. Morning devotion. Oh Lord, deliver us. We were kidnapping somebody. So that tells you the depravity of the soul of man. Amen. Like we were talking today, where they say in the church, they poisoned one man. I said, I don't understand. How can somebody poison another person to become pastor? You are poisoning somebody so you can become pastor. Does it happen? Okay. So that's telling you what is happening at the soul. So we must move forward. And the Bible says that we will not be of those people that drop back to perdition. We must make up our mind that we must press on to the saving of the soul. There are no names. God doesn't believe in names. Say end time, this one, forget it. God is only looking for what is happening at your soul. Are you breaking through? Are you overcoming? Are you becoming headless? It is headless souls that are in the body. You understand? It is the head that identifies the body. Isn't it so? It's not the body that identifies the head. If you say you are the body of Christ, fine. Who is your head? When you have a head, then you are in the body. But if you are on your own head, you are not in the body. You identify yourself that you are outside. You know. So that is what God is saying, that we need to come to that place of consecration, submission. Of death, you know, submitting our members as instruments of righteousness. Yeah. You understand? And when we do that, we become servants of righteousness. And it is possible to be a servant of righteousness. And we have seen it. So it's either you have this one or this one. We have been here before. God said, now we can be here. And we must believe that it is real and that we can get there. Praise God. Amen. Thank you.